Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Without further ado, let's welcome back to Philadelphia Senator Vance.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, you're speaking today in North Philly over in Indiana Avenue. What are you talking about and what kind of place are you at?
Well, we're visiting a company there, and we're going to talk about two important issues, both to that company, but also to the country at large, which is manufacturing and energy. You can't manufacture without low-cost power. You can't build things in America without low-cost energy. And also, we have a Harris administration that even today is pursuing policies that make energy unaffordable for our businesses and unaffordable for our consumers. You know, the final point I'll make there is that, you know, I grew up in a poor family where we sometimes struggled to heat our homes or to pay the utility bills. We have utility bills that are 30% higher under the Harris administration thanks to the policies they pursued. We've got to get back to some common sense, which will make energy and everything else more affordable for the everyday American.
Well, common sense, I think we'll agree, will be in short supply at the DNC convention. Case in point, yesterday the protests started, which are going to be enormous and not following the law, apparently. And Senator Vance, a VP nominee, there were feminist LGBTQ groups leading the charge. Obviously, groups said Hamas would be supporting, right?
Yeah, there's a certain irony, isn't there, in the Democratic Party's embrace of Hamas on the one hand, with their embrace of a very radical social agenda that would not exactly be welcome on the streets of Gaza, right? This is a massive blind spot that I think these pro-Hamas protesters have. You know, you sometimes see, you know, these organizations, it'll be, you know, gays for Gazans or something like that. And, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu famously said that's kind of like, you know, chickens for KFC. These are not people, meaning the Hamas leadership, who would at all welcome the far left members of the Democratic Party, but they've embraced them because the Democratic Party today is not so much a group of pro-American leaders. It's a sort of smorgasbord of different ideologies that sometimes are in very sharp contrast. And this is why I think the Democratic Convention this week could become extremely volatile and maybe even violent, because you have a lot of people who would just like to lie about Kamala Harris's record and pretend it's going to bring down costs for Americans. And we want to talk about Hamas and about Kamala Harris's disastrous foreign policy. It's going to be interesting to see if they can bury that conflict beneath the surface. If they do, it'll be, I think, very unexpected.
Yeah, in fact, Senator, I know you're traveling, doing a speech today, et cetera, but the allegation out there today, I wanted to get your reaction. The mayor of Chicago, to me, I've been in Philadelphia all my life, is the epitome of what happens when progressives take over. The Hamas supporting group among these protesters is given the front position to be in front of the convention center. That's out there this morning.
Well, and it's interesting, too, that what the Democrats have to do here is they have to find some way of persuading a lot of voters in Michigan that they are pro-Hamas, whereas they have to convince a lot of voters nationwide that they are pro-Israel or pro-Jewish American. And that's a very, very hard line for them to toe. And if you actually look at the policy of the Biden administration, you know, Kamala Harris says she wants the war in Israel to be over quickly. Well, all of us want that. And yet they pursued a series of policies that actually prolong the conflict and prolong the killing rather than enable Israel to take out Hamas, end the organization as quickly as possible, and then actually build a long-term peace in the Middle East. If you were to try to pursue a policy that maximized civilian casualties and also maximized Israel's danger, you would do exactly what Kamala Harris is doing. It doesn't make any sense. But again, so much of what Kamala Harris does doesn't make an ounce of sense.
We're talking with Republican VP nominee J.D. Vance, Senator. College campuses, University of Pennsylvania was one of the hotbeds of what went on last time. I'm monitoring. There's going to be protests slash potential encampments or a school strike. Hundreds of universities. Give us a sense in the mind of J.D. Vance. Where's the line? You went to Yale, for example. I went to LaSalle here locally. Where's the line of legitimate protest versus crossing that line in your mind?
Well, I think it's very simple. I mean, obviously, even if you disagree with somebody's viewpoint, they have the right to express that viewpoint. But when they cross the line is when it becomes violent or when it interrupts students from enjoying campus life, or when they turn our campuses and our public spaces into garbage dumps with these tent cities that violate the law, right? The law is very clear. You're allowed to protest, but you're not allowed to set up tent encampments. You're not allowed to, you know, litter and turn our public spaces into garbage dumps, and you're not allowed to harass or commit violence against other students. And what's so telling about these campus protests is they have consistently crossed the line, and the membership of these universities, the leadership of these universities has shown no leadership in actually forcing people to just follow the basic law. Look, don't harass your fellow students. Don't
commit violence. Senator, let me interrupt and say they would say, what would you do? What would you do? I know what I would do, but you're the guy that's running for vice president and is a senator, so my response might be different. What would you do? What should they do on college campuses?
Well, look, I think clear them up. Arrest people who are committing violence against other students. If you set up a tent encampment, you get an order to clear it up. And if you don't clear it up, then you face consequences for it. I actually think it's very simple law enforcement. For some reason, we have treated some of these kids as if they should have special rights when all they have to do is follow the law. Express your viewpoints, criticize Israel if you want, praise Israel if you want, but you have to follow the law.
Senator, do you feel like you're back maybe a high school campaign, the plagiarism? You're the victim of it now, President Trump, the mean girl tactics on the other side. Does this feel more like high school campaigning?
Well, it certainly feels like high school campaigning in the sense that Kamala Harris doesn't talk to the media, is terrified of actually articulating a positive vision for this country, has no real policies. And in that sense, it's a high school campaign, because if you're running for president of the United States, you should have to stand before the American people and actually solicit their vote. Now, it is hysterical that we will say something on the campaign trail, either President Trump or me, and then 3 or 4 days later, the Kamala Harris campaign will copy it. I joke that in 4 days, she's going to campaign on building the wall and making America great again, because she clearly doesn't have any ideas. She's just lifting them all from our campaign. But the more important point here is that her entire agenda has been about bowing to the far left wing of her party. She wants to ban fracking, ban offshore drilling. She wants to stop the production of manufactured goods in our country and ship all of our manufacturing jobs to China. She has, on every single issue, pursued the most left wing answer to our problems. And that includes things like defunding the police. You know, if you look at Kamala Harris's record, she was a prosecutor in California at a time of skyrocketing crime, at a time when the drug cartels were taking over the state of California. She wants to take those policies nationwide. And the question for the American people is, do we want to let her? And I think most Americans are smart enough to say no.
Yeah, absolutely. All the VP nominees I've had the privilege to talk to over the years say they want to be the last one in the room before big moments with the president. Give us a sense of your relationship with President Trump as far as areas of advice that he comes to you on. I know we couldn't ask for word by word. That'd be improper. But give us a sense of your role as VP. You'll have your own agenda, I'm sure, executing for the president. But the advice part of that.
Well, you know, one of the things I admire about the president is that he takes advice from everybody. I mean, he'll ask the gardener as one of his properties. He'll ask the vice president of the United States. He asks everybody what they think about issues. I think it's one of his special skills because he actually wants to understand where everybody comes down on an issue before he makes a decision. I think one of the most important things I can do for the president is just serve, like you said, as a counselor who's the last person in the room, but actually looks out for his interests, because I think the president's interests, once he becomes fundamentally the interests of the United States. When he makes a decision that makes us all prosper, then he benefits politically, of course, from that decision. So I think it's important for me to provide counsel that ensures the president is protected, that he's doing the right thing, of course, and that he's going to make decisions that are in the best interest of the country. Because when the country prospers, I think the president will prosper too.
Absolutely. Parting question for you, Senator Vance. I'm from South Philly. I'm very proud of that. Here in our area, you were in South Philly recently. You know, it's a marker, different than other places maybe. I really went off when the governor of Kentucky, this one-man campaign, to try to take away from you, your heritage, where you came from, some of the pain of that, how you came through. And I think saying that you mock or somehow another don't support those people that you came from. And I just wanted to give you a chance, because I know it's hardball politics, but that to me is not someplace I would go in a campaign.
You know, I don't really care or think much about the governor of Kentucky. He had to apologize for some of the things that he said because he got blowback from the citizens of his own state. So I don't think much about him. What I do think is we have a leadership that I think looks down on normal Americans. They look down on their values. They look down on the fact that they want, you know, normal people want to send their kids to schools where the kids get an education and not an indoctrination. Most people just want to wake up, go to work, live their lives, have enough prosperity so they can support their kids in some comfort. And I do think that a big chunk of our leadership class actively looks down on the citizens of our country. I want to be the kind of leader that makes our citizens feel heard, that makes them believe that they have somebody who cares about them and wants to make their lives more prosperous and more secure. And if the Democrats are going to attack me for that, let them, because I'm going to be the vice president for everybody, and I'm going to remember where I came from and every decision I make.
Enjoy Philadelphia. I know you'll be over there at the facility today at 1 o'clock over in North Philly on, I believe, 1800 Indiana Avenue. Senator, Godspeed. Please come back again. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks. We'll be back quite a bit. Appreciate it.
All right, Dan, you got that last part. We'll be back quite a bit. Sit in here. Yeah, there you go. Let's set up a facility here whenever he wants to come on. I had a lot in that interview. Love to get your reaction. Again, thanks to Dan, along with the Trump people, making that happen with J.D. Vance in Philadelphia today over in Indiana Avenue at about 1 o'clock. 855-839-1210. That's how you get on board. And you heard what he said about college campuses, garbage dumps. That's exactly what this is. That's exactly what the left is about, trashing stuff. What he said about normal Americans, what they want, prosperity, something for their kids, safety, those kinds of things. And when we watch the Democrat convention already operational yesterday and today, are we seeing that joy there? What we're seeing is offering abortions right there in some van they had parked, boarded up buildings, and 100,000 of the mob hell-bent to support Hamas. I mean, that's joy. That's what their pitch is of joyful. Is the media going to be able to spin that when they see what this party brings to Chicago, what Chicago's about? A lot of fencing, a wall, if you will. Have to have ID to get in, and it's not just right at the convention center. It's all over the place. All right, phone lines, 855-839-1210. That's how you get in. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, just push pound 1210. I think J.D. Vance has found his voice with walls in the race. It's going to be a heck of a debate with that buffoon when it happens. And again, the attack that got me the most is this trying to take away where he came from. You know, everybody has a right to that kind of story. And when you try to diminish that in the way that Beshear has done, a guy whose father put him in as governor of Kentucky versus a guy who came up the hard way, they just don't want to hear that because that's the American story. They don't want to believe that people actually do that in the manner that J.D. Vance did. Even before this
starts.
You're
going to have a hell of a story on that one.
Yeah, there you go. Even before this starts, you got people saying, wait a minute, the Rizzo name is going to stay on that. It's the father. How low can you be? Well, you know, the mob in Philadelphia, they don't want the anything with Rizzo on it is anathema. So we're already on that story. We'll see what happens. In other words, if they relocate it because of the stuff with 95, would they keep the name? You know how these people and the significance of them wanting to tear stuff down, like the Rizzo statue, like anything with Rizzo on it. And now it would be the father. Something that has done great work for the community over the years. People have dedicated their lives. One guy there, 30 years, running the hockey programs.
You're a crumb creep, lush coward.
Oh, that was a bad timing.
That's okay.
Yeah. Really great guy that did that.
Yeah, how would you even consider it? Well, people already look at this. They know how it is. It's like Columbus. It's Rizzo. It's any of those names. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. Hit us on the initial thing that we just mentioned. You heard J.D. Vance in town. All eyes on the DNC convention. But
My summation, since it happened just at the end of the show on Friday, Kamala Harris comes out, the first time we see a policy agenda, and she was talking about price fixing. So all the big Democrats over the weekend, the big Gretch, Whitmer, Beshear, the guy from Kentucky, they all come out, and what do they say? Well, they all come out and say, well, all she means is, I think I have one of these here. I think I have Beshear. They're saying she doesn't mean price fixing. Well, that's what she was talking about. Here is, here's the governor of Kentucky on yesterday CNN talking about what she really means by this. Yeah, cut seven on CBS. Here's what Beshear said about price gouging.
This isn't about trying to price fix. It's just making sure that the economy is operating the way it should, that this is really supply and demand, which we all respect.
Okay, it's let's stop right there. I wouldn't even let the guy go on there. I give him maybe 8 to 10 seconds out of deference. Then you're going to say, we're going to talk, buddy, one thing here. What's the benchmark? When do we know when this is out of line and you have to jump in and do something? And by the way, she wasn't talking just about price gouging. She called it gauging. She was also talking about fixing the prices. All right, he continues.
The economy is operating the way it should, that this is really supply and demand, which we all respect. It's no different than what Teddy Roosevelt did in breaking up monopolies. It's just making sure we have the right regulations and tools in place to make sure everybody is playing the game fairly and by the rules.
Okay, let's stop there. Now, Dan, you make the you of the Sherman Antitrust Act.
I sure do, Doug.
You know, as many times with these Democrats, as many times as we go through this, we already have the laws. The host should have said, are you talking the Sherman Antitrust Act and the like? Why didn't we enforce them for 3.5 years?
Yep.
They didn't ask that question. Every Sunday show, all they had to do is say, I hear your case. I hear what you do. Why didn't you do that before this? What's the reason? Political or otherwise, they would have no answer. Dr. Ben, welcome back. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Always good to be with you.
Well, Dr. Ben, what's in the forefront of your mind campaign-wise right now as we look at the DNC?
Well, the DNC, of course, is interested in deceiving people, into making people believe not what their eyes have seen and not what their ears have heard, not what they've experienced, but what the story is that is fed to them. And, some of them will buy it. There's no question about it. You know, one of the things that happens in a country before it becomes socialist is they dumb the population down. So you have to have people who are gullible enough to actually believe what the things that you're telling them, even though those are not the things that they see and hear and experience.
Yeah.
That's what's going on.
Exactly. Vice President Harris, particularly, it's hard to know because whether she's actually a socialist or she feels that's the way to get ahead in the party. But when we knew we had you on today, her most recent comments trying to deny that she wants socialized medicine, she wants the government. Somebody like you who's been in the center of this to universal acclaim. Obamacare, and even Obama didn't go that far, Dr. Ben. What would happen in that situation if we went even further?
Well, we would wind up like all the other countries. I mean, you don't even have to go far away. Go to Canada, you know, right next door to us.
Mm-hmm.
People of means in Canada come here to have things done, not only because of quality issues, but because of the length of time that it takes to actually be taken care of. And we would find ourselves in the exact same situation. And, you know, I hope our people are smart enough to realize that. You look at England and the system that they have there, you have something like needing a hip replacement, you may be on the list for 6 months to 2 years before you can get your hip replaced. And by that time, something else has happened to you. It just goes on and on and on, and that's the way it works anywhere else. And to believe that it would be any different here is foolishness.
Yeah, and I don't think we'd see anything. I don't see in these countries
anything like you were able to achieve, some of the operations, some of the things that you did. It's not just the day-to-day. It does not foster greatness. It does not foster doctors who advance medical science.
Well, socialism in general is about equity. Everything needs to be equal. Depress the things that are superior and prop up the things that are inferior to get them all to the same level. That's not what made America into a great nation. You know, our exceptionalism comes from having exceptional people. And exceptional people developed in a system that allows them to thrive and doesn't push them back down.
Dr. Ben, the focus, it's hardly joyful. We have 100,000 protesters in Chicago, apparently, wanting to attack Israel. But we also have Democrats setting up abortion on demand facilities there, which, you know, you could be supportive of some kind of choice, something like that. But this is how radical it is. That's the thing they're advertising front and center.
Well, you know, recognize that when you talk about our founding document, the Declaration of Independence, what does it say? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Mm-hmm. Life is right up there up front. Our respect for life from the womb to the tomb. And as we disrespect life, look what happens to our relationships with each other. Look how they're spiraling downward. Look how our unity is being destroyed in this country, which is the prerequisite to destroying the country itself. So all these things are interlaced together. And it was when we had values and when we had a sense of community and brotherhood, that's when we stood strong. That's when we rose from nothing to the pinnacle of the world in record time.
On Friday, Vice President Harris, the first major, huge blunder that the media actually covered, the argument of Democrats over the weekend, Dr. Ben, was, well, she's not really serious about so-called price fixing, their words. She just wants, and this is the way to draw out the other side. We never get a benchmark. We never get a specific on how we could make a judgment on the other side of what we're talking about, because they can't win that argument.
Well, there's a reason that she's hiding away from the media. She doesn't want to be asked these questions. She doesn't want to be asked to explain anything. It's very clear that she has a limited understanding of economics, as do many of the people on the left side. They don't understand how things are interconnected. They don't understand how suppressing our oil and gas industry and decreasing our independence has a domino effect on the price of food, for instance. They can't understand any of that. And that's why we end up in these terrible situations. And, you know, I just find it interesting that the economists love to say that we have cycles in our economy. It goes up and down like a sine wave. No, it doesn't. It goes up and down based on who's in office and whether they understand economic principles or not.
I mean, it is, around the edges, outliers. Sure, there can be a minor thing there, but you're right. If it works, if these principles work, they will always work. As we head back to school, Dr. Ben, I've been thinking today, knowing you were on, your work over the last couple of years we've talked about with young children. You mentioned the Constitution, things of that nature. What are you up to right now? Are you still engaged in that?
Oh, yeah. Our Little Patriots program is growing like crazy. We just last week came out with the Pocket Constitution for Kids. It has beautiful little cartoon drawings in it, but it helps them to really understand the whole Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And it is growing and being accepted all over the country. Now, and particularly in homeschools and private school settings. But, we're working in some public schools, too. There's some public schools where people haven't completely given up on logic and common sense. And you look at Louisiana and Oklahoma, where they're bringing back the Ten Commandments in the Bible. There's hope for our nation. As long as we cling to some of those principles and those values that made us into decent people, There's hope for us.
Well, every time we talk with you, we feel better about that. Keep up that work, Dr. Ben. Appreciate your thoughts today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Ben Carson here on Talk Radio 1210. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. That's how you get on board. Hit us your thoughts on initials that pop. Yeah, as I said, Planned Parenthood offering free abortions. I don't know if they do it in that van they have parked there. That'd be a nice touch to have right parked right. And vasectomies. I want to see how many of these guys are stepping up for a vasectomy while they're there. Oh, my God.
Oh, what an odd thing.
Yeah, right. And
what a weird thing.
Yeah. Well, that's right. The word weird.
Sorry, I mean.
Yeah, I resisted getting into that with J.D. Vance. I was more interested. Yeah. It's a coalescing thing here. Dan's question was the one I think that got the most traction with him, which was, do you feel like you're in a high school campaign?
That's what it is.
Yeah, with the plagiarism. With the mean girl stuff. Yeah. That's Walt Walsh is a, more of a mean girl than anybody.
And the media is like the people who follow the mean girls repeating like what they say positively after reporting negatively about it a week ago when J.D. says it's
but the plagiarism, all Harris did is saying, well, he said 5,000, I'm going to make it 6,000. I mean, he ought to say I'm making it 7. Well, he did say in that interview, yeah, we're going to build a border wall. We're going to build two of them. Walsh is over there right now. He's given to illegal migrants an 8-track to use. By the way, that's one of the things.
Fox Seger 8-tracks all around.
Even the New York Times wrote about this, that if they get outside the convention guarded area, they'll see, is how much illegal immigration has damaged Chicago. Now, it's hard to tell because dozens of people were shot just in the last couple of days in Chicago, which is usual. But the busloads coming from Texas, from Governor Abbott and others, they really did really make a difference as far as people rejecting this. In New York, they reject it. They have Dolan, Cardinal Dolan lecturing them. In Chicago, it's the mayor who thinks, what's the problem here? And these are mainly African-American neighborhoods where this is going on. So that's still the go-to area for Republicans to come back to. How will this play out this week? They will riot. That's why the stores and everything else are boarded up. And on the Magnificent Mile, I've only been to Chicago once, and we didn't go to the Magnificent Mile, so I don't have firsthand knowledge of it. But it's like, I don't know. Where around here, I used to say parts of Walnut Street, but they got in a riot here. They got messed up. So I'm not sure. It's even more upscale than that. It's walled in. They put up giant fencing in there now.
What?
Yeah. Plus, around the convention, it's miles and miles of fencing. And it's not just cheap fencing. They're anchored into concrete. And, of course, you need ID to get in. You put all that together. Why would we not do that as a country? I mean, it is hypocritical every single time this happens.
It's like closing down the parkway, is it not?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it could be like. Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think, where's the most lavish shopping? It's not Suburban Square here.
It's probably Walnut.
Like, I think it's Walnut.
District.
Yeah.
Not the actual fashion district, but like the...
Yeah, not the Burlington Coat Factory district. Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
the Old Walnuts. Navy outlet district.
Yeah, the one where they threw the piano into the street. That's the one. That's the highest.
Like near Rittenhouse Square almost.
Yeah. Row avoidance. Row, we're never going in that area. All right, 855-839-1210. You get on board. AT&T and Verizon Wireless. All you have to do is push pound 1210. Get your reaction to J.D. Vance. Hit us on the side question, too. Coming up, Josh Shapiro. In Chicago, undaunted, attacking President Trump because the Democrat Party's anti-Semitic. And he's not going to take hearing that from Trump. How dare he? Straight ahead with Dom, Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Joe, afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Dom. I would like to comment on J.D. Vance.
Sure.
I think he's a star. I think out of all four of them, I think he's... If you're worried about the future and he's in it, you don't have nothing to worry about.
Well, I got to tell you, being in a ring with him, I think he's found his voice now, much different than in the beginning of the campaign. Because of Walls, he's hit his stride here big time.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. Because if you watch the NBC, the CNN, and the ABC interviews where they were, they all had the same script. He was dynamite. He really was. He was very, very good. Extremely good.
You know?
Extremely intelligent. So I'm very impressed with him.
I am. Got anybody with initials in honor of J.D. Vance?
Anybody with initials?
That's our side question. Yeah, Joe.
Or anything.
Anything. Yeah. Initials.
FDR.
FDR. Oh, there's okay. A big one. FDR was one of the first that did that. I don't remember people saying, you know, then the Kennedys picked up on it. All right, 855-839-1210. Coming up, I want to give you what the Inquirer quotes Josh Shapiro about. And, you know, what I think I'd say to Josh Shapiro if I had the opportunity, if he ever deigns to go back and forth over stuff, his claim, Donald Trump, of all things, is not going to lecture me about what anti-Semitism is. It's not in the Democrat Party. Hey, Josh, look out the window wherever you are there in Chicago. Dr. Ben, welcome back. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Always good to be with you.
Well, Dr. Ben, what's in the forefront of your mind campaign-wise right now as we look at the DNC?
Well, the DNC, of course, is interested in deceiving people into making people believe not what their eyes have seen and not what their ears have heard. Not what they've experienced, but what the story is that is fed to them. And, some of them will buy it. There's no question about it. You know, one of the things that happens in a country before it becomes socialist is they dumb the population down. So you have to have people who are gullible enough to actually believe what the things that you're telling them, even though those are not the things that they see and hear and experience.
Yeah.
That's what's going on.
Exactly. Vice President Harris, particularly, it's hard to know because whether she's actually a socialist or she feels that's the way to get ahead in the party. But when we knew we had you on today, her most recent comments trying to deny that she wants socialized medicine, she wants the government. Somebody like you who's been in the center of this to universal acclaim. Obamacare, and even Obama didn't go that far, Dr. Ben. What would happen in that situation if we went even further?
Well, we would wind up like all the other countries. I mean, you don't even have to go far away. Go to Canada, you know, right next door to us.
Mm-hmm.
People of means in Canada come here to have things done, not only because of quality issues, but because of the length of time that it takes to actually be taken care of. And we would find ourselves in the exact same situation. And, you know, I hope our people are smart enough to realize that. You look at England and the system that they have there, you have something like needing a hip replacement. You may be on the list for 6 months to 2 years before you can get your hip replaced. And by that time, something else has happened to you. It just goes on and on and on, and that's the way it works anywhere else. And to believe that it would be any different here is foolishness.
Yeah, and I don't think we'd see anything. I don't see in these countries anything like you were able to achieve, some of the operations, some of the things that you did. It's not just the day-to-day. It does not foster greatness. It does not foster doctors who advance medical science.
Well, socialism in general is about equity. Everything needs to be equal. Depress the things that are superior and prop up the things that are inferior to get them all to the same level. That's not what made America into a great nation. You know, our exceptionalism comes from having exceptional people. And exceptional people developed in a system that allows them to thrive and doesn't push them back down.
Dr. Ben, the focus, it's hardly joyful. We have 100,000 protesters in Chicago, apparently, wanting to attack Israel. But we also have Democrats setting up abortion-on-demand facilities there, which, you know, you could be supportive of some kind of choice, something like that. But this is how radical it is. That's the thing they're advertising front and center.
Well, you know, recognize that when you talk about our founding document, the Declaration of Independence, what does it say? life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Mm-hmm. Life is right up there up front. Our respect for life from the womb to the tomb. And as we disrespect life, look what happens to our relationships with each other. Look how they're spiraling downward. Look how our unity is being destroyed in this country, which is the prerequisite to destroying the country itself. So all these things are interlaced together. And it was when we had values and when we had a sense of community and brotherhood, that's when we stood strong. That's when we rose from nothing to the pinnacle of the world in record time.
On Friday, Vice President Harris, the first major, huge blunder that the media actually covered, the argument of Democrats over the weekend, Dr. Ben, was, well, she's not really serious about so-called price fixing, their words. She just wants, and this is the way to draw out the other side. We never get a benchmark. We never get a specific on how we could make a judgment on the other side of what we're talking about, because they can't win that argument.
Well, there's a reason that she's hiding away from the media. She doesn't want to be asked these questions. She doesn't want to be asked to explain anything. It's very clear that she has a limited understanding of economics, as do many of the people on the left side. They don't understand how things are interconnected. They don't understand how suppressing our oil and gas industry and decreasing our independence has a domino effect on the price of mm-hmm. food, for instance. They can't understand any of that. And that's why we end up in these terrible situations. And, you know, I just find it interesting that the economists love to say that we have cycles in our economy. It goes up and down like a sine wave. No, it doesn't. It goes up and down based on who's in office and whether they understand economic principles or not.
I mean, it is, around the edges, outliers. Sure, there can be a minor thing there, but you're right. If it works, if these principles work, they will always work. As we head back to school, Dr. Ben, I've been thinking today, knowing you were on, your work over the last couple of years we've talked about with young children. You mentioned the Constitution, things of that nature. What are you up to right now? Are you still engaged in that?
Oh, yeah. Our Little Patriots program is growing like crazy. We just last week came out with the Pocket Constitution for Kids. It has beautiful little cartoon drawings in it, but it helps them to really understand the whole Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And it is growing and being accepted all over the country. Now, and particularly in homeschools and private school settings. But, we're working in some public schools, too. There's some public schools where people haven't completely given up on logic and common sense. And you look at Louisiana and Oklahoma, where they're bringing back the Ten Commandments in the Bible. There's hope for our nation. As long as we cling to some of those principles and those values that made us into decent people, There's hope for us.
Well, every time we talk with you, we feel better about that. Keep up that work, Dr. Ben. Appreciate your thoughts today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Ben Carson here on Talk Radio 1210. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. That's how you get on board. Hit us your thoughts on initials that pop. Yeah, as I said, Planned Parenthood offering free abortions. I don't know if they do it in that van they have parked there. That'd be a nice touch. They have a right park right. And vasectomies. I want to see how many of these guys are stepping up for a vasectomy while they're there. Oh, my God.
Well, what an odd thing.
Yeah, right. And
what a weird thing.
Yeah. Well, that's right. The word weird.
Sorry, I mean.
Yeah, I resisted getting into that with J.D. Vance. I was more interested. Yeah. Coalescing thing here. Dan's question was the one I think that got the most traction with him, which was, do you feel like you're in a high school campaign?
What it is.
Yeah, with the plagiarism, with the mean girl stuff. Yeah. That's Walt Walsh is more of a mean girl than anybody.
Yeah, and the media is like the people who follow the mean girls repeating like what they say positively after reporting negatively about it a week ago when J.D. says it's ridiculous.
But the plagiarism, all Harris did is saying, well, he said 5,000, I'm going to make it 6,000. I mean, he ought to say, I'm making it 7. Well, he did say in that interview, Yeah, we're going to build a border wall. We're going to build two of them. Walsh is over there right now. He's giving to illegal migrants an 8-track to use. By the way, that's one of the things.
Fox Seeger 8-tracks all around.
Even the New York Times wrote about this, that if they get outside the convention guarded area, they'll see is how much illegal immigration has damaged Chicago. Now, it's hard to tell because dozens of people were shot just in the last couple of days in Chicago, which is usual. But the busloads coming from Texas, from Governor Abbott and others, they really did really make a difference as far as people rejecting this. In New York, they reject it. They have Dolan, Cardinal Dolan lecturing them. In Chicago, it's the mayor who thinks, well, you know, what's the problem here? And these are mainly African-American neighborhoods where this is going on. So that's still the go-to area for Republicans to come back to. How will this play out this week? They will riot. That's why the stores and everything else are boarded up. And on the Magnificent Mile, I've only been to Chicago once, and we didn't go to the Magnificent Mile, so I don't have firsthand knowledge of it. But it's like, I don't know where around here. I used to say parts of Walnut Street, but they got in a riot here. They got messed up. So I'm not sure. It's even more upscale than that. It's walled in. They what? Put up giant fencing in there now.
What?
Yeah. Plus, around the convention, it's miles and miles of fencing. And it's not just cheap fencing. They're anchored into concrete. And, of course, you need ID to get in. You put all that together. Why would we not do that as a country? I mean, it is hypocritical every single time this happens.
It's like closing down the parkway, is it not?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it could be like. Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think, where's the most lavish shopping center? It's not Suburban Square here.
It's probably Walnut.
Like, I think it's Walnut.
District,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Not the actual fashion district, but like the...
Yeah, not the Burlington Coat Factory district. Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
the Old Navy outlet district.
Yeah, the one where they threw the piano into the street. That, not that. Yeah, district. Yeah. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, that's the highest.
Like near Rittenhouse Square almost.
Yeah, row avoidance. Row, we're never going in that area. All right, 855-839-1210. You get on board. AT&T and Verizon Wireless. All you have to do is push #1210. Get your reaction to J.D. Vance. Hit us on the side question, too. Coming up, Josh Shapiro in Chicago, undaunted, attacking President Trump because the Democrat Party's anti-Semitic. And he's not going to take hearing that from Trump. How dare he? Straight ahead with Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Joe, afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Dom. I would like to comment on J.D. Vance.
Sure.
I think he's a star. I think out of all four of them, I think he's, if you're worried about the future and he's in it, you don't have nothing to worry about.
Well, I got to tell you, being in a ring with him, I think he's found his voice now, much different than in the beginning of the campaign. Because of Walls, he's hit his stride here big time.
Oh, I agree with you 100%, because if you watch the NBC, the CNN, and the ABC interviews where they all had the same script, he was dynamite. He really was. He was very, very good. Extremely good. You know? Extremely intelligent. So I'm very impressed with him. Very impressed.
I am. Got anybody with initials in honor of J.D. Vance?
Anybody with initials?
That's our side question. Yeah, Joe.
Or anything.
Anything. Yeah. Initials.
FDR.
Oh, okay. There's a big one. FDR was one of the first that did that. I don't remember people saying, you know, then the Kennedys picked up on it. All right, 855-839-1210. Coming up, I want to give you what the Inquirer quotes Josh Shapiro about. And, you know, what I think I'd say to Josh Shapiro if I had the opportunity, if he ever deigns to go back and forth over stuff. His claim, Donald Trump, of all things, is not going to lecture me about what anti-Semitism is. It's not in the Democrat Party. Hey, Josh, look out the window wherever you are there in Chicago, and you tell me that that mob that is massing, they're not anti-Semites. 125 organizations have come together. What do they share in common? Well, they say they're anti-Israel. Really, Many of them are just anti-Semitic. Some of them are just pro-Hamas. How in the world does your party not have that problem? Talk to Ilhan Omar. Talk to Tlaib. Are those anti-Semites? Is somebody ever going to ask this guy something like that? 855-839-1210.
Real quick question.
Yes.
On the side question from Leslie and Bryn Mawr.
Yes.
Are we accepting things like BYOB?
It's up to you.
No, I think we should.
All right. Let's throw the gates open. It's Democrat week. Anything goes.
All right. Head of Lettuce had a great one, too. I'm going to take off the board. How about POTUS or SCOTUS?
By the way, let me just take a moment to honor BYOB, Dan. There's no greater invention.
You're right, man.
The first thing I look at, I ask Ro, is that a BYOB? Then you don't care. You're bringing bottles of wine out. No, I feel, yes.
Well, knowing Ro now, you're going to be bringing a blender over to the restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
Pina colada mix?
As long as they have pina colada mix, yeah. Now, Ro has these little bottles this big.
Yeah.
And she drinks about a tenth of it each time we go out of Lambrusco.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, is it wine or is it hard alcohol?
No. She's not. No, it's a virgin pina colada. There's no alcohol.
They
blanch at that.
Has she started asking for the specialty pina coladas?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she saw all that handiwork and said, Maisie's pretty lucky. So watch it. Dan Borowski's one of those guys that make other guys look
bad. I made
a new
one over the weekend. I had my fantasy dread, had a bunch of friends over. I made some chocolate peanut butter pina coladas.
You know what? If you do it, don't put it in a place where women can see it. Then the rest of us have to try to come up with that. That's the problem. Oh, look at the Borowskis ever. Look at Dan mowing the lawn.
They were delicious, Dom.
At 7 in the morning on a Sunday.
I'm going to have you in over.
We're not doing
beautiful
that.
Dinner.
That's it.
I'm going to make you some pina coladas.
Oh, God.
Maybe some clams.
Oysters Rockefeller, probably.
No, I'm not making oysters Rockefeller.
Yeah.
Thinking clams with white sauce and pasta, maybe some Captain Chuckies.
Oh, well, there you go. You got me.
Yeah, some dom rolls to lead off.
Get Captain
Maryland
Chuckies
crab soup.
To cater. Oh,
yeah.
To cater this.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.